Shall we pray, church? Our great God and Father, it's amazing that you would dwell with us, and your dwelling presence transforms us. Even in worship, we hear you, we experience your spirit. Give us the grace to come to you and to come to your word with open hearts of faith and love, so that you can light up our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's wonderful to be back with you in the second half of the year. And we are very thankful for the signs of growth in our midst. I just am rejoicing in my spirit with your vicar, with your pastoral team. God is at work. It's wonderful to see him at work at all segments, age segments of the cathedral. We stand in awe of him. This picture and experience of growth, however, is not quite what we are experiencing as a nation. Christianity in Singapore is not surging ahead at this point in time. Some of you may be familiar with these statistics, the comparison between 2010 and 2015. Protestant Christians, so my friends, roughly about 7% are Roman Catholic. I'm just giving you the figures for Protestant Christians. 2010, 11.3%, 2015, 12%. So that's under 1% growth in the 5 years. Put that alongside the increase in the numbers who say they have no religion, and the increase for those with no religion is from 17%, 17, to 18.4%. That's very high, isn't it? They have increased by 1.4%, which is twice as much as Christians. So that's the situation just in terms of Christianity in our country. Not the best figures for me to tell you it's harvest time, but it's harvest time. Because God is not locked into boxes. And as much as we might think, okay, we are on the, you know, sort of the back foot, God has a way, because he does things in unexpected ways to demonstrate his power. And according to his perfect wisdom, he knows how to gather the elect. He knows how to bring revival. And so in the Diocesan Digest, I hope you get a copy. I hope you will consider it, because I trust God is stirring faith in us that this is what he's doing. It's harvest time. Multitudes will come to faith in Jesus, will come to experience new life in Jesus. In the midst of all that is happening in the world and in our society, God is at work. And certainly this passage today, so today if you have the outline in front of you, it'll help. More importantly, you need the Word of God in front of you. So we're in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. And these words are also given to a people who are on the back foot. In fact, much worse. Isaiah is writing to an audience that he knows will go into exile. They're going to lose their country. They're going to be thrown out of their country. They're going to see Jerusalem and the temple destroyed. What future will they have? And there's this wonderful picture, a glorious picture of Zion. Zion is the hill on which Jerusalem is built. And I trust, as the scripture was read, you can see Isaiah is seeing a picture of the nation streaming in. And the words which I want to dwell on today is the first verse. Arise. God speaking to us in the midst of all that is happening. My people, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And that's God's declaration. So we may not be cheered on by the statistics, but we are anchored, we are expectant, we are ready because of the word of God. And so I want to now bring you this topic, the brightness that I believe is coming upon us. So my topic today is a world brightened by sparkling people. A world brightened by sparkling people. I'm going to use Isaiah as I take you through. So firstly, the brightness needed at a time of escalating darkness. Because verse 2 says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." I'm sure you don't need much persuasion that the world is engulfed in darkness. Does it not feel that the world, by and large, is plunging headlong into an abyss, a ravine of self-destruction? I'm thinking about the strife and conflict that is all around us. I just thank God for the intercession. And that's how we battle. Well, not with sword and not with anger, but through prayer and praise, we overcome the forces that are against Christ and against His church through prayer. But there is this strife, this tension, this conflict between groups. Not only that, in our day, we are also finding conflict within the group. Our attention at this time is on the Muslim world. So within the Muslim world, we see so much of fighting among themselves. And the destruction of the mosque in Mosul, ISIS forces destroying what was set up by people of their own faith, so to speak. So I trust you can see there's a nasty wind blowing right across God's world. It's not just happening at the national political level, it's happening in our lives. The strife, the conflict, the anger, the unresolved relationships. And then you have hardened liberalism. It's hardened because it is against conservative values. Interestingly, I read an article, not only are we asked to tolerate alternative values in many places, thankfully, in God's grace, not yet Singapore, but it's hitting the door. We're supposed to celebrate the differences. So this is, again, a wind, you know, which in one sense wants tolerance, but is intolerant of revealed faith. Are you with me, my friends? The moment you say, this is what I believe because of my Christian faith, in many places, you are treated as primitive and oppressive. And the leader of the Liberal Democratic Party, Tim Fenton, steps down because he says, there's no way I can lead with my values when my party is so liberal. They can't coexist. So that's the kind of pressure that is happening in the world. I don't need to let you know about greed and the destructiveness of greed and the profit motive. The cladding for the Grenfell Tower is just a case in point. But, you know, when you don't have values, then everything is about yourself. There's greed, and then there's the reality of addictions. So on the one hand, we have, in many places, material comfort. But we're in chains. This is true also of Singapore. There's a great concern about teenage suicide. So these are dark, destructive forces, and they swirl all around us. As I think about it in terms of Holy Scripture, I find there's a growing lawlessness, a spirit of lawlessness. You need to understand this a little bit. It's in 2 Thessalonians. There's the lawless man. The lawless man is a world ruler, a leader who has no fear of God. And in these days, we could have to deal with that reality. Leaders who are a law unto themselves, and they have no fear of God. Lawlessness is also where there is no regard for God and for God's way of living. So people don't accept there's absolute right and wrong. People don't accept the revelation of how we are to live, of the distinctions in life, of the values in life. So don't tell me what to do. It's the mood of the day. I will decide for myself. I form my own terms of reference. There is this lawlessness. It's an anti-authority spirit. Are you with me? So I am the authority of my life. And who are you to question my conscience? And who are you to deny me how I want to live? I perhaps had an experience of it, so I tried to just illustrate this. So I've just come back from visiting my married daughter in Newcastle, and my family and I, I'm married, my wife and I, were walking down towards the city, and it's a pedestrian path, and there's a large cycling population, so there's often a cycling track next to it. But there is no curb between the two. There's no grass verge. It's just a yellow line dividing the two. And here is, and there's a pedestrian flow. So we are walking uphill, but coming downhill was an elderly lady. And then there were two teenagers who were, if you like, speeding down because of the downhill effect. But they swerved into her path and really scared the wits out of her. And she is now heaving, and she's also shouting, you see, out of that exasperation. To my horror, one of the two boys turned back because heard her shouting, shouted back, "Stupid idiot." It affected me because I can see it happening here in Singapore. But this kind of autonomous, I'm a law unto myself. And if we don't correct it, and we don't deal with it, that's what we're going to face. There's no respect and honor for the elderly. There is no recognition of authority, each one on his own. So the brightness that is needed at a time of escalating darkness. So what is this brightness? Where does this brightness come from? The brightness comes from the righteousness practiced by God's redeemed people. And that's where our two readings come together. Arise, shine. The prophet is speaking to God's redeemed people. When we come to Isaiah 60, the picture is they are going to be restored. They will be restored. And now they are to arise and shine. And then Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." Think about it. You're not just the light of Israel. You are the light of the world. You are God's provision of light in the midst of darkness. And therefore, let your light so shine before others. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Give light. When you light a lamp, it gives light to all in the house. So I say to us today, we don't come to church to light up each other. We come to have our lights, if you like, fanned and trimmed and nourished by the word of God in order that we might bring the light back home, back to our offices, back to our classmates, back to our colleagues. The light is to shine in all the house. And it's the light of kingdom values. So Matthew 5:13 to 16 is a lead into the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is going to talk about forgiveness. He's going to talk about adultery. He's going to talk about non-retaliation. He's going to talk about speech, kingdom values. So for the Christian, the light of righteousness belongs to our faith. I just say this one more time. The light of righteousness is intertwined, belongs to our faith. It's quite unique. We live the way we do because of who we believe God is. Because God is righteous, He does the right things. Because God keeps His promises. Because God shows compassion, so our life reflects it. This is our faith. They are wedded together. You can't really have one without the other. So our lifestyle reflects who God is. So the Bible says, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. That's God's design. And so in Sermon on the Mount, we have the kingdom values, the integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. You don't need anything further. You're a person of the word. If you keep a promise, even to your own relative or family member, you will keep it. That's how you are built. You honor our parents. We care for people in need. We value every human life. We make a commitment not to take revenge against those who wrong us. We watch the language of our speech. So these are kingdom values. Let me again give you an example. It really brightened and heartened me. One of our leaders in Nepal, he had the opportunity to go for training in India. And India is materially much better off than Nepal. So after his training, he had an opportunity to work in India. But kingdom values, God's purpose for his life, he returned to Nepal, to one of our churches in Nepal. And not only there to build the church, but he has started a ministry to help and rescue children from human trafficking, because this is the real world. We are engulfed in darkness. Let your light shine. And that's what he is doing. And so the Spirit is moving. And he's calling forth a people who will shine out God's righteousness. It's a righteousness seen in everyday life. So I thought, if I may, how can we shine this brightness in Singapore today? What ways will honor God and bring the light into the darkness? Okay, for Singapore, one of the darkness that is creeping in is racial stereotyping. That we treat people according to certain prejudices and so forth. The current one is Islamophobia. So I'm not sure if you saw it in the papers, but my attention was called to it. So this is the Senior Minister of State for Defense and Foreign Affairs, Mr. Maliki Osman. And he relates an incident reported in Straits Times Friday, 23rd June, of a Malay pest controller checking for mosquitoes being shooed away by a Chinese resident who feared he could be a terrorist and she wouldn't accept all his assurances that he's legitimate. She just was so afraid, just didn't want him in the compound. The minister highlighted it, of how this can creep in, you see. The other incident that maybe also caught my attention was what Pastor Terry, the vicar of this church, wrote in the Diocesan Digest on the back page. He relates an incident when someone was very upset about the many, many foreign workers using the common ground on Sunday. And the person was just so upset. How can so many foreign workers just use, I suppose, not only the common ground, but the facilities? So we can lose our way. Because in Singapore, there are distinct ethnic religious groups. In Singapore, we need to share our common space with many, many foreign workers. So what's our attitude? How does kingdom righteousness shine? I have three suggestions as I think about where we are. They're in your handout. First, don't shun those different from you. Don't shun those. I'm hoping these are just some handles for us. What does it mean to brighten the world with kingdom righteousness? So first, don't shun those who are different from you. Be open with discernment. Not just be open, because God guides us. As we relate to people, we begin to know how we are to posture ourselves. So be open, don't be prejudiced, be discerning. Second, don't be smug at other people's problems. Don't be smug. Don't feel, oh, what a mess, terrible. You know, have a smile to yourself with the thought that it'll never happen to you. It is wicked, unkind to have that. When people are struggling, they need compassion. Because who knows what life's road is going to have for us? Don't be smug at other people's problems. Be compassionate. And the third one, positive. Third one, treat others with covenantal love, mercy, and kindness. Wow. Why three words? Because can be true to this Hebrew word. You see, the Hebrew word is hesed. I'd like us to learn it now. H-E-S-E-D, hesed. Hesed is a very rich, multi-strand word. So the Bible translators also keep moving, you know, mercy, loving kindness, steadfast love. It is all this in one. That's why I just picked, you know, the three. Covenantal love. Covenantal love means you live life covenanting yourself to the people you are part of. And I want to say this to Singaporeans. Live with a covenant relationship to the people of the land, to this land. If you are here and this is your homeland, then you treat fellow Singaporeans with covenantal love. Covenanting that we will make this land secure. We will help one another to improve our lives. There's this covenantal relationship. It's not each man for himself, and beware of those who are not like you, and don't get drawn into people who will use you. Don't be fearful. Live in covenantal love. And then there's kindness, you see. And then there's mercy. It's from Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? So I'm just trying to unpack. Yeah, I started with two negatives, but I know this kingdom bursts forth, you see. This kingdom will know no end. This kingdom has a light. It sets people free. It will meet resistance, but don't let it stop you. Practice covenantal love. Even within the family, sometimes there's a nasty wind. You know, every family sometimes, suddenly everybody is sort of very worked up, very sensitive, maybe even at each other's throats, you know. But you must catch yourself and say, no, I'm a follower of Jesus. And this is the standard. These are the values. I practice covenantal love and mercy. Mercy, is freely given. Not because you deserve it, but because I love you. And your life matters to me. This is the kingdom righteousness that will shine. Finally, my friends, this brightness bursts forth from hearts set free. So we're thinking about this kingdom righteousness. We're thinking about it in terms of conduct, what we do, how we treat others, how we keep our promises. But I wanted you to know, it's not a code of conduct as such. It springs forth from hearts set free. And I'm tracing this, I'm detecting this because of what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, arise, shine. So that encourages us to think this righteousness is coming out of us. This light, we are not only bathed in God's light, but this light begins to irradiate, comes from the inside out and flows out. In other words, it's not a code of conduct external to you and then you try very hard to do all these things, but you're changed from within. Because the light comes and transforms you. And I want to say, Isaiah is writing these words about 700 years before Jesus comes as the divine Son, as the one who is the personal embodiment of the lawgiver. He's Son of God. But 700 years before, arise, shine, for your light has come. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, Matthew 4. And Isaiah is seeing it. We are looking back on it. And what we now know is this righteousness flows from the cross. Because we have all failed in this righteousness. Am I right? We've all failed. And when you fail, you find it hard to arise and shine. Because of the guilt, because of the shame, because of the inconsistency, you know. But at the cross, we are forgiven. So I'm no doubt that we are here knowing that we fall far short of kingdom righteousness. But each time you fail, receive his forgiveness. Because he sets you free. So the explosive person who maybe by God's grace had kept his or her temper under control, suddenly, you know, there are these moments in life we lose our footing. And then, whoosh. And then you're thinking, forget it. I can never shine for God. Don't. Because there is forgiveness. There's something more. There's the gift of the Spirit through the cross. The Holy Spirit comes and transforms us. Within. We are being made new. I think if you're listening to this sermon, you're saying, hey, this righteousness, other people in other faiths also, there are some righteous people, very good people, very kind people. I work with some of them. I'm sure you do. But I wanted you to know the power of this gospel is it changes all of us. It's not just a few scattered good people. But the person with anger is transformed by the cross. The person who is jealous becomes the person set free to give without calculating. The person who is so self-centered, maybe so worried about his or her life, is set free. How does this happen? This is God's glory. Each one of us, a tree of righteousness. Isn't that fantastic? So it's not just, oh, you know, of course, every faith, there are some very saintly people. But as I read the scriptures and as I see what God is doing, he's pouring out his Spirit. Last Sunday, I had the joy, together with my wife, who was still on leave, to be here for the 9 a.m. service, and I heard Deaconess June on the gifts of the Spirit, and many of you were blessed. Today I bring you the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit changes us within, you see. If you are struggling with your spouse, the Spirit changes you before he changes your spouse very often. It's true. So if you're waiting for your spouse to change and you're still gnashing your teeth, come by another way. Come to the Lord. Let him set you free. And then he will begin the transformation. So I want to invite you, and so I now want to conclude. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And it's going to lead on, you see, because it's going to say, kings and nations will come to the brightness of your dawn. Verse 3. Kings, so how does this relate to harvest? What is God going to use to bring in multitudes into his kingdom? He's going to use kingdom righteousness by his people. It's going to be one of the ways in which people are going to tune into the gospel. There are so many competing voices out there. People will only tune to the station when they like and they're captivated by the music, by the melody. And it's this that I believe God is doing. And that's what Isaiah sees. These people who lost their homeland were totally in survival mode. The nations will stream to them. And they will come from afar. And nothing can stop them. And even those who can't walk will be carried. And it's a wonderful picture. No one is excluded from God's reign, God's kingdom. And that's his call for us today. We love people, this covenantal love. J.I. Packer has a wonderful way of saying this. To share the gospel with a person is the highest expression of loving your neighbor. It's very good. To share the gospel with someone else is the highest expression of loving your neighbor. Because you want this life. Life today and life in eternity. Life with God who doesn't change. And whose likeness will transform us. Please stand. I invite you to stand as you have heard the word of God. It's good now in this quietness, in a moment. We'll have a song, but in this moment now, I'd like to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to make you a sparkling person.